Hello. Greetings. I greet you all with the weekly virtual lesson. For me, it's always an event. First of all, I'm happy to remind you about our Congress. The Congress of 2009, from the 2nd till the 4th of February, here in Israel, registering for it via kabbalahgroup.info. We're expecting you all. There will be around 6,000 people from 60 countries, 32 languages. It's going to be a very serious event, and we'll be very happy to see all of our friends. This Congress will be special, and as I told you already, it includes in it all of mini-humanity, so-called, which have decided to unite all together in order to overcome this crisis. And not simply in order to overcome it, but thanks to it to rise to a new degree of existence in the revelation of the next higher degree of our world, which is now concealed from us, and we can reveal if we start uniting together, we will compare, match this upper nature in its quality of bestowal and love. Therefore, it's preferable to be together with us. And if someone really can't come, then he can watch it through the net. But we would like to see as many friends as possible here together with us. Together with us is my friend and student, Sasha Kozlov. He'll take questions from you via kab.tv in all languages. Send us immediately all your questions, and we will continue and find out what Bala Sulam has asked us in the introduction to tests. It's the main introduction for the main work of Bala Sulam. Item 41 is where we are now. I will read the short content of each such point, and we'll discuss it. Item 43. The Creator is disclosed. He is closed only in the true Kabbalistic writings and is disclosed only by the same way. Nothing but the Creator is hidden only in these writings and in no other place. Therefore, you have to look for Him precisely in that place where He is hidden. So, in principle, we are used to, well, with the help of the book, I disclose what's written there. But the truth is, with the help of the reading of the Kabbalistic books, I only come to the conclusion that something is concealed from me, because before this, I didn't even feel that something was concealed from me. So the book tells me that something is concealed from me, and somehow is trying to open this hiding from me. If I know that something is concealed from me, I know that I'm trying to find out how, what, why, and behind what concealment is he hiding. So the Kabbalistic writings, sources, they reveal the concealed, meaning a person starts feeling that he is truly in a world in which something is concealed from him. This is a special teaching of the book. Not like we're used to, no matter what kind of textbook I take, physics, biology, chemistry, you know, gradually reading that textbook, I start understanding what is it about. And Kabbalistic books, no, they lead us to concealment, but to a very clear feeling of concealment. It reveals in a person a great desire to reveal. And if he continues to advance in these books, then he overcomes the barrier between him and the concealed world, and that world starts opening up for him. And a man who does not study Kabbalah, even the concealment, is lacking from him. So we can say that a person existing in our world afterwards starting studying Kabbalah, advances into the study of Kabbalah, advancing in the study of Kabbalah, meaning the help of Kabbalah with the help of the group, with the help of a teacher, using these means, he advances to the concealment. And afterwards, advancing forwards, he overcomes the Mahsom, behind which there is the revelation. And these are the stages. So a person shouldn't be surprised that on the first stage, when he studies this, it could be 3 to 5 years, this first period. He feels that Kabbalah becomes more and more concealed from him. The upper world, the Creator, somehow he guesses that somewhere and kind of grasps it, but and another point, not. So this feeling of that there is something concealed from me, it's the verge of revelation. It's the gateway to revelation. So both the concealment and revelation of the Creator can you look for only in the Kabbalistic writings. The concealment is necessary in order for only the one willing to discover the Creator could do so. One with a ready egoism that invested enough exertion, that formulated the egoism to the necessary form of the revelation of the Creator. I mean, the egoism is necessary in order for me to prepare myself, for me to know whether I'm ready for it, do I need it, for my desire to be formulated so that in it will I get the revelation, meaning the concealment is necessary to formulate me, prepare me for revelation. So this is a necessary period of time. It's not that you can step over it. There are plenty of different steps and degrees in it. A person doesn't know how he goes and steps, but he's being led throughout these degrees. The main thing is not to be torn from it, to put in as much efforts as possible. And he overcomes this period of revelation and of concealment and goes into revelation. Item 42. The concealment does not let us reveal, act according to his desire, but to do the very opposite. I feel that he is concealed and even more concealed, and I distance and even more distanced from it. So it really rejects him from the Creator. By this, the Creator as if brings him close to himself, meaning awakens a greater and greater desire within the person. By such actions, we cause a positive effect upon us from above, felt by us as suffering. But the suffering with which I approach him, it's called the suffering of love. Because I want him, and I suffer as a result of not having a direct, open contact to him. So, although man suffers maybe, but it's not the same sufferings like in our world, where we don't feel what they are, how they are, what for, what are they actually. And if we would have felt the Creator, for instance, instead of the concealment, we would have immediately started feeling him, then we would have wanted to behave like him, and we would have behaved absolutely correctly. As a result, we would have felt only positive actions from him, but we wouldn't have had enough desire, enough of thriving to him. Therefore, in order to awaken within us a strong, precise, very direct, subtle yearning for him, he, by different ways and methods and different forms, conceals himself, awakening us different forms of desires and appetites for him, so we will be prepared for his revelation. And if it would have been open, revealed, then we would have all acted correctly, because a person can bring harm upon himself due to nature. If I would have, if the Creator would have been revealed, if I would have been like the Creator, I would have been completely righteous. Why? I would have seen all of nature, all of our interconnection and dependence. I would have necessarily thought about others and the Creator because I would have seen that I depend directly on it. And this way, I wouldn't have had any free choice. I would have simply very directly realized his orders like a robot, and I would have had no free actions whatsoever. And like where after something bad you do, you immediately get some kind of a bad result, and from the good you get something good in return, then immediately I would have acted accordingly and I would have been righteous, but righteous without my self-will, because I can't go against my nature. So, in order to achieve the Creator, for this we need to undergo this step of concealment, to have great desires for Him on the one hand, a very great discontent with His concealment on the other hand, and against this concealment we would like to disclose Him, but above our egoistic desire, so that not the egoistic desire would draw us to Him, but for us to be led to Him by an altruistic desire, by rising above our egoism. Therefore, the Creator conceals Himself not from us, but from our egoism, so that if we want to see Him, we would rise above the egoism and we would start working with Him on an altruistic level, and not below on an egoistic level. Probably, says Bala Sulam, in our world, the only thing we're lacking is the revelation of the upper providence. Therefore, if the upper providence would have been revealed, then all of us would have been completely righteous, and we would have received complete adhesion with the Creator. But we would have behaved then like robots, and it wouldn't have been favorable in the eyes of the Creator. Therefore, He hid Himself from us. And moreover, the Creator, He hid everything so that it seems to us that the wicked, they're the ones that really have a good time in our world. And not many can achieve the goal. A person following the path feels upon himself these two forms of rulership, the concealed and revealed. In the beginning, the revealed rulership of the Creator, the concealed rulership of the Creator, and a person, when he starts feeling that he is in this concealed rulership, that it comes from the Creator, that the Creator, by some kind of opposite actions, coming from behind, from around the side, He influences me, and He puts all possible things in my way. And Bala Sulam, he wrote it very well in the article of None Else Besides Him. And a person in this state of concealment has to nonetheless go in complete contact with the Creator, to try to completely be with Him, despite whatever unpleasantnesses he gets in life, no matter what falls down upon him. He has to constantly thrive himself for connection to the Creator, due to all those that the Creator sends him. It is in order to make him rise above his egoism, and instead of this egoistic level, to bring a person up to the altruistic level of connection with him. It says that I shall hide myself from them. It says about the single concealment, when a person still sees something as if the Creator is concealed from him. And afterwards, there is the double concealment, when they get some really unpleasant times, and I'm completely concealed from them. And by these two kinds of concealments, the Creator leads us to the goal. Anyhow, we're ruled by the Creator, and we have to act the way He orders us to. The only question is how. Are we ready? Do we agree with this concealment of His or not? No, I don't want it. I don't want it egoistically, but if I try to come out into a different level of behavior where I don't mind if He's concealed from me or not, the main thing is that I would be tied to Him. I'd know that I'm with Him. I would know that He exists and we're somewhere in contact. Till I correct my egoism, till as long as my egoism wants His revelation for my self-fulfillment, for my self-awareness, I'm prepared for the Creator to be concealed. First of all, I have to correct myself. First of all, I have to make so that my egoism will not participate in my contact with the Creator. And for this, I overcome all my conditions. The double concealment, single concealment, I feel Him, don't feel Him, concealed less, concealed more, it doesn't matter. The main thing is for my egoism not to participate in this contact of mine with the Creator. Therefore, I'm happy for the concealment of the Creator from me. I only ask Him to constantly push me so I won't forget that precisely these states of concealment are needed in order to rise a bit above my egoism and try and find a contact with Him on a different level, outside of myself, outside my I, outside my egoistic desire to be fulfilled, to get to know. I don't want all of this. I want something higher than it, to be in contact with Him on the level on which He is. Therefore, when a person undergoes both these states of the double and single concealment, he is ready for the Creator to be revealed to him. And afterwards, when the good comes down upon the person, then he understands that he has achieved the revelation of the Creator. He sees in this good not only the pleasant which comes down upon him, but he also discovers the upper force in it. And when no sufferings come down upon a person, he doesn't feel the Creator in it and he doubts His existence. When a person gets sufferings, it means that the Creator conceals His face. Meaning what is revealed is His opposite side, and it's necessary to strengthen oneself in faith, meaning precisely by such relation towards us, once the good, once the bad, meaning the Creator controls us. From the evil I feel a greater concealment, from the good I as if feel the revelation. And do I have to bring myself to such a state where neither of the awakenings, neither the positive nor the negative, influence me? I rise above them, and it doesn't matter what I feel. Absolutely, what is important is only one thing. For the Creator to be felt by me higher than my egoistic desires, meaning I have to achieve such a state where these conditions, bad or good, stop affecting me. When what is important for me is, can I bestow upon Him? Can I affect Him positively? Regardless of what I'm feeling in the present, if I achieve such a state where my desire is only to give, then I start feeling that precisely this is His private, personal desire, and for this reason He has awoken upon me the positive and negative influences in order to bring me above my egoism, which really, really wants to sense to feel good and escape the evil. The Creator, to begin with, is concealed and is not revealed to the creature in a direct fashion by which he wants to reveal him. Meaning that if a person studies Kabbalah in order to reveal, in order to attain, to know, to fulfill himself somehow, the Creator will not be revealed to him in no way. He will wait. He will teach man how to rise above these desires of his because they're egoistic. I want to know more. I want to achieve more, to sense more. All of this is felt in my egoism. We don't need these kelim, these desires. We can't feel in them more than in our world. And precisely when we, despite all of these positive and negative such blows from both sides, we turn and do not find ourselves from such states of blur states where we don't perceive, do not understand. I come to a state where I start rising above myself and I no longer care what's happening there on my level, on the egoistic level. It's completely regardless for me. I leave everything and this is called this world. It's down below. And I constantly add to it more and more revelations of ego, and I myself try to be above it. The main thing is the goal, the Creator, meaning the quality of bestowal or love coming out of myself, above myself, and this is the main thing that can be by man. And therefore, all the positive and negative effects upon me, I feel as the call of the Creator, formulating myself similarly to Him. Therefore, the Creator will conceal Himself as long as man's motivation will not shift from the egoistic to the altruistic, and afterwards will be revealed according to the measure of a person rising above his desires. Meaning, we have to lower our egoism and importance in us and not to feel, want to feel anything in it, meaning our corporeal body and our desires of ours and our intentions and our sensations and our understandings in mind. We don't want anything. It all refers to our world. It dies along with our body. I want to achieve completely different qualities. Completely different thoughts, completely different sensations which are above the egoism, and in them to contact with the Creator. Therefore, our whole path of preparation to achieve the goal is a very non-simple path. All this path that we undergo now, from our world to the spiritual world, it is a path where man actually puts in lots of efforts, and why he doesn't see. What for he doesn't see. He's always in these vague, blur, lost states, in short, in concealment. When the sufferings increase, it brings to double concealment, meaning that man doesn't even feel the Creator, does not believe that he exists, that he governs, that he rules, and he thinks that all in the world is a result of his personal actions. This condition, when man believes in his private forces or in the forces that surround him, this state is called idolatry, meaning he believes in different forces that rule the world besides the Creator. And this is what it's where it says that make yourself no statue, meaning that make no idolatry. It's not only building statues, but when he thinks that he or the people around him have their own desire, they appear within him and them under the influence of the Creator when he starts to imagine where from his behavior towards them or his their behavior towards him something actually changes, and it's not the Creator that determines, defines, and does everything. This is called idolatry. Meaning there are only two states to man. Either idolatry, where he believes in nature and the different forces and mankind, masses, his own force. This is idolatry. Or when he turns everything to the Creator, one of the two. When he refers everything to the Creator. If a creature thinks that the Creator is concealed due to his egoistic state, as a result of his egoistic state, this is determined as a single concealment of the Creator, meaning that he believes that the Creator exists, that he is concealed. And in this case, he tries somehow to nonetheless find him and reveal him. Meaning, the single and double concealments, those are the stages that we constantly have to undergo within ourselves. Item 51-52. The creatures, they discern two degrees of perception of concealment. The single concealment, which is the concealment of the rulership of good, when the person believes that everything is done by the Creator, but the actions of the Creator are revealed to him as bad, as unpreferable. This is how he feels them in his egoism. This is the single concealment, meaning he still believes in the actions of the Creator. So let's put it this way. Concealment is a single concealment when he feels that there is a Creator. But alongside with it, he feels evil. And there's a double concealment, where one thinks that there is no Creator, and all is evil. Or instead of the evil, the good. But the main thing in the concealment, the single or the double, the lack of the Creator or vice versa. Meaning the double concealment, it means that the Creator conceals himself. And the single concealment means that the Creator does not conceal himself, but he conceals his good rulership and seems to a person as evil. And by this we actually finished a part called the rulership of double and single concealment. By double and single concealment. Maybe let's answer a few questions if we have such. Because the next part... Nico from Japan is asking, is it possible to say that we, let's say, swing in between two states of single and double concealment? Meaning, is it possible to call this concealment one with respect to the other? Once again, please. He's asking, is it possible to say that we swing between the two states, between the single and double concealment, and we try to make a revelation and we return to a concealment, and we return to the concealment. We try to reveal and we return to the concealment and from the concealment to revelation. As much as I feel Nico, he is very doubtful of the truth of this path. Is he on the right path? He has, with respect to us, certain doubts. But in principle, what he said is true.
We, existing in this period of concealment of the Creator, we really use the group, the books, and the teacher correctly. Only in this way, in this case, are we in the development, in the progress of the revelation of the Creator. He's revealed to us depending on our swinging, on our adjustment of our egoism, whether there's more or less of it, whether we are moving in a different direction altogether away from Kabbalah. And the egoism is invoked in us depending on the development of the Rishmo that's inside of us, which is constantly changing. So we're constantly bouncing back and forth. We're as long as I hold on to the correct books, the true books, and the teacher, and in this I have no doubt. And if I try to rise above my egoism, then my bouncing back and forth is only dependent on my Rishimo. I work with the group, the books and the teacher, and I raise into single concealment. And then again, a Rishimo comes out, and I fall into secondary concealment. And I work again with the Rav and the books, and I raise back into single concealment. And in this way, I overcome all of this that is called, all of this lane that is called concealment from 3 to 5 years. But this is only in the case that a person is pushing and putting forth a great effort and he doesn't have any doubts where he exists. Otherwise, he doesn't accept this method upon himself. A listener from Israel is asking us, merging with the Creator and knowing the Creator, are these two different things or the same? Knowing the Creator or merging with the Creator is the same. Otherwise, there is no... a difference between the two. So a merging with him or knowing him or an equivalence of form with him is the same thing. That's why the Creator isn't revealed somewhere behind or in front of us. He's revealed inside of us in our corrected qualities. We feel these qualities that are called the Creator, the source of everything else that's inside of us. Next, our viewer from Miami, in the States, saying, sometimes you say that there is freedom of will to a person, and sometimes you say there isn't. Can you clarify this? Yes, I can clarify this. A person has no freedom of will in this world. A person has no freedom of will as to what to get from the Creator, what sort of influence the Creator has upon him. He has no influence over the unchanging environment. He only has the force to, he only has the strength, the will to raise above himself and there, above himself, to find a connection with the Creator. Next, Claudio from Chile is asking, when dual concealment ends, how can we tell? Dual concealment doesn't just end. Single and dual concealment are constantly going back and forth, and they always exist inside a person before the Maksum, before the revelation of the Creator. The strongest concealment is right before the is right before the revelation of the Creator. This strong concealment is called the darkness of Egypt. And it's only surmountable if the person is very well prepared. Otherwise, what's the point of invoking in a person such serious concealments to completely push him away? No, the upper force, the upper rule is only interested in helping us move ahead with little steps. From Krasnodar, we have a question. If my thoughts are constantly changing, and if my states are constantly changing, can I feel my closeness to the Creator? If a person is constantly striving towards keeping himself in the concept of there is none else but him, that there are no other creations besides himself, and he's constantly tied to the Creator. Then, in this case, we can be sure that we are on the correct path. Here's another question from Kazakhstan. Please give me an example of single concealment. How can I feel the Creator, but feel that He is bad? If He is pure love, how can I understand this? That's why it's called concealment. So I don't feel Him correctly. If I feel Him correctly, then I would feel Him as good and kind. I feel that as if this is coming from Him, but exactly how it's coming, I'm not sure. Exactly how he's concealed, and exactly this concealment is perceived by me as evil. Understand that from the Creator, there emanate two influences. These influences are known to us from the four stages of the direct light. We studied this. The light acting on us, light, invokes the birth of a desire from nothing. From the point that's inside of it, he invokes the birth of a desire, and this is the first stage. And this first stage is filled completely with the light. And having been filled with the light, inside of this light, it begins to feel another constituent of the light, which is the perception, a sensation of the Creator Himself. There's a light, and inside the light, inside of this light, there's another additional influence. This is the light itself, and inside of it is the Creator. Baal HaSulam explains this in the following way. Suppose that I am a guest at someone's house. This is my host. And here am I, the guest. The host offers me all sorts of dishes. So I receive from him all of these delights. But at the same time, with this food, I receive from him another influence, that this is him that's giving it to me. So from one hand, I have the sensation of the pleasure of what he's giving me, and on the other hand, his presence. And these two influences are together inside of us. Now a question. The Creator is influencing us with both of these influences. He's saying that this is I, and this is my gift to you, the light. And alternately, these things are manifested inside of us. The light, or its absence, gives us a feeling of goodness or evil. And the Creator gives us the sensation of His presence or His absence. If I sense instead of good, evil, then this is concealment. If I sense that the Creator is absent instead of present, then this is also concealment. If I feel goodness, then this is revelation. If I feel that He exists and is present, this is also revelation. And so, until the moment, while I exist in my egoism, not having overcome it, I cannot have complete revelation. I can only have either a dual concealment or single concealment. One of these and one of these. It's a simple combination. This is what's in our world, in our states, in fact in any world, up to the Creator. This emanates from the four stages of the direct light. As soon as He began to create us, He gave to us his delights with and created our egoism at the same time, so that we would ascend to it, so that we wouldn't be like inanimate plant or animal that just acts completely under the rule of law and in no other way. And there are no possibilities for thinking about something or guessing. There's no absence. There's no vacuum. But here, inside of us, we have a vacuum in between him being concealed and revealed and acting as good or evil. We studied this. When the Creator created Adam, a system called Adam, then in this system, good and evil were simultaneously connected with sweetness and bitterness. So, just like in animals, that's how man behaved. So, and how does an animal behave? What's good for me? What tastes good for me? What's pleasant to me? This is good for me. This is truth. And what's bad for me is always bitter to me. And that's why animals never make mistakes. The taste is enough for them, and the smell, to sense if it's good or unhealthy for me or bad. And that's why an animal will never eat what's bad for it. But a person doesn't have this state. A person has indecisiveness, and a person something that's sweet for a person could be bad for him, and what's bitter could be medicine. And this all descends from the influence of the Creator upon us. One more question from Atlanta. Paul's asking, dear Rav, Rishimot come from the beginning, are predetermined. Can a person pull upon himself different Rishimot from... Can a person invoke upon himself different Rishimot depending on his work in the group, or is the chain of Rishimot already predetermined? This chain is unchanging because we are descended from the world of infinity. Each soul walks along its path all the way down. So when we exist in this world and begin to ascend back up, then we must ascend down the same steps as the ones that we descended. The same ascent as the descent. So we ascend the same exact steps. We have to cross the same states as existed on the way down. But the thing is that now these steps are dependent on how we pass them. If we want to ascend to the next step, then it's a plus. If we don't want to ascend, then it's a minus. In other words, we have either the path of kindness or the path of evil. The path of an easy, pleasant path, or a path of blows and terrible sufferings of fate, terrible punishments. This is the choice. So, the path, the negative path is always ready for us, and humanity will always ascend up it, and more so in our time. These are terrible sufferings that await us if we don't begin to absorb Kabbalah to take this path, but change it into something good. When we ascend each step ourselves in anticipation of the good, and find there, instead of sufferings, fulfillment. Perhaps we can continue. Okay, let's continue. And you please continue to ask questions. The next topic that Baha'u'llah Sallam is telling us is the next stage after concealment of reward and punishment. So, we came down from the world of infinity through all of creation, through all the worlds. We existed in our world throughout its history. This is our history in our world. And now we begin to ascend up. So, ascending up, we sense in ourselves depression, emptiness, which brings a person, as a result, through many years, or many lives even, to a method. Let's call it Kabbalah. Onward, a person, having studied Kabbalah, enters a state of concealment. Single and dual concealment, alternatively, having existed in this concealment in such a way that the concealment doesn't affect him, he elevates above it, above his egoism, which here inside of him bloomed from the beginning of his study of Kabbalah. From about 3 to 5 years, it's called in Kabbalah, he passes what's called a machsom, when he already exists above his egoism and enters a state of revelation. Revelation. And this is what he's discussing now, Baal HaZulam. And this is how we ascend, in the end, to the same level of infinity from which we descended. So, point 53. All the work of a person in the correction of his freedom of will is described in two states, the single and dual concealment of the reign of the upper force. All of the correction of the upper force is in correct. So freedom of will is basically here. Freedom of will. Specifically in concealment, because when the Creator is revealed after the Maksom, the freedom of will disappears. A person has and feels the Creator, so he's compelled to act. He's compelled to act under the force of the Creator. Most of the freedom of will is here. So we have to realize it. And realizing it is very simple. So specifically, in the state of concealment, when I don't understand where the Creator is, I don't understand, from all sides He's influencing me, and all these sufferings and falls, and I try to, through them, ascend to Him. I see that all of this is just a game of His with me. And I ascend above this. I raise above it. I enter into the next level of my relationship with Him, above my egoism. So it doesn't matter how I feel on my egoistic level. But myself, I try to be on a completely different level of connection with Him. So by suffering and crying, blows always invoke doubts in the path, and a person always has the choice to fulfill the desire of the Creator or not to. So I have a choice. Do I grab on to the fact that He is doing everything, and this evil that I feel inside of my egoism, that this evil is directed towards my egoism? As soon as I feel that this evil is changed inside of myself to good, then I feel immediately, then I feel that I exist in the quality of bestowal. And contrawise, changing my egoism to this, the quality of bestowal, changes suffering into the light. And you'll see that it is created in you specifically for this reason. So, in point 54, he writes, and after a person applies all of his efforts, the upper reign is revealed to him, the feeling of delight. And as a result of this delight, he returns to the Creator. So he nears Him and merges with Him. So, in other words, after I applied all of my efforts in order to, in opposition to all of my internal sufferings and doubts and fears of what is happening with me and what's falling on me, I try to hold myself in a state that this is all coming from directly from the Creator, force Him in this way to reveal Himself. So, even though you're trying to conceal yourself from me, I'm still trying to find you, and that all of this is coming from you. If a person in this way adjusts all of his efforts, ends all of his efforts that he was required to that he was required to work through, then the Creator is revealed to him. The return to the Creator occurs over two steps. Over the reward of punishment is the first step. So this step here is called reward, and punishment. Behind every correction, a person feels delight and pleasure and attains the reward that is destined for him in the next world. So, the reward here, once again, is called pleasure, a sense of fulfillment. What sort of fulfillment? Not an egoistic fulfillment, because he's above the maksum now. He's raised above his egoism. Here he has the quality of bestowal. And in this quality of bestowal, he begins to sense what it means to exist in the quality of bestowal. And this sensation invokes in him pleasure. Once again, the existence in the quality of bestowal, according to my efforts to be, according to his efforts to be in this quality, I never had any pleasure striving towards it. But when I went above the maksum, then I began to feel the pleasure from the fact that I exist in bestowal. And here, you have a question. What does this pleasure give to him? Does he begin to feel it and fulfill himself? If he begins to fulfill, no. Because if he begins to fulfill himself, then it's as if he's acting to be fulfilled. So if I'm ready to give for the purpose of feeling fulfillment, then it's as if I'm giving to receive, and this is bad. So here I have hold myself in a stronger screen. I have to, against the sensation of fulfillment, the opportunity to fulfill, invokes in me the chance to raise even above my the pleasure that I'm able to receive here. Here, I was trying to get pleasure from the Creator, and on this upper level, I can actually get pleasure from the Creator, and from this I receive I sense the delight, the light pouring on me. So now the question is, this light, do I take it inside of myself and feel pleasure from it? No. I accept it in order to please the one that's giving to me, the Creator. So step by step, I begin to work over my qualities, even the ones of bestowal, in all my qualities, into bestowal. So I begin to ascend even more. So in this period of concealment, my work with egoism did not end. I raised above it, and now, in a state of concealment, a state of revelation, sorry, I begin to work with it more productively, feeling its pleasure, but at the same time bestowing. And behind every egoistic action, a person begins to feel suffering and sees the punishment that's the consequence of it. So what does it mean, reward and punishment? It is a closeness to the Creator, an equivalence to Him. An equivalence to the Creator is called pleasure, and distancing from Him, it's obvious to me that it's punishment. Are there other questions? Vadim from the States asking us, from Florida, what sort of freedom of will could there be if everything is determined by the Rishimot? The freedom of will is of course not in the Rishimot, of course. If I descended into this world, here in our previous chart, and here all my Rishimot in form of this spiral, this inner spiral inside of myself, coiled inside me, and now they're beginning to unravel, then of course they exist inside me in a necessary, required order, and I have to follow them. It's like a genetic, system in a person. Ask any geneticist, and he'll tell you that his genes develop his entire state, his behavior. And here, so, these spiritual genes, all of these Rishimot, this data, which is written inside of myself, are step-by-step developed to bring me back. And the only freedom of choice that I have is to move forward correctly. Is to move forward correctly by a nice, good path, or by a crooked one like this. Can you see the difference here? Can you imagine? To go around in these roundabout ways, and only here is our freedom of will, but it's not in coming to the goal in one way or another, but in going the straight path, I attain the Creator. I understand Him, but running in this opposite way, I'm just running away like an animal that's being beaten, and I don't attain anything. One of our students from Kazakhstan is asking us, what sort of punishment could there be after the Maksom if a person is corrected, but his soul is not corrected? You raised above your egoism. What are we talking about? We also had this drawing, sketch, before the Maksom. We are in concealment, and the soul is completely uncorrected. We begin to correct it up here, in concealment, and revelation is, we have single and dual, and only after both of these revelations, we have complete correction, final correction, which is called Gmar Tikkun. So, only here the soul is corrected. The soul begins to correct above the Maksom. Before the Maksom, the soul is completely uncorrected. It's not corrected in any way. It is just a period of preparation. 3 to 5 years is a period of preparation. A period of period of preparation to correction. It's like you step, it's like you get accepted to a school where you attain a specialty, but you don't work there yet. This is the period of preparation before the Maksom. Anything else? Jesse from Michigan is asking, what sort of freedom of will could there be after the Maksom? What kind of freedom of will could there be after the Maksom? After the Maksom, really, there is a very limited amount of freedom of will. The freedom of will after the Maksom is very limited, because a person already exists in the presence of the Creator. There's a little different system that's of working there. When a person works with his egoism, he doesn't have a freedom of will, like we think, in the system of concealment and revelation. His freedom of will is because he exists between two systems of light and dark forces. And on this side we have dark forces, and on the right side we have altruistic light forces. Here it's called Kedusha, they're the positive forces, and Klipa, the negative forces. And the person exists between them. And their opposition inside of him gives a person the freedom of will. So he doesn't know. He doesn't know how to orient himself, how to use both of them to, with their help, come to a singularity with the Creator. Another question? Listener from the United States is asking us, you're always using the word above, to ascend above something. Is there a technique, to ascend to the Creator? Read the essay, There Is None Else But Him, the first essay of Shamati. Start it reading now, you'll see exactly what I mean. How to act with yourself in a state of concealment. It will help you very much to understand this lesson, and will help you to ascend. And with this wish, I say goodbye until our next lesson.